There's four things in the first paragraph. We're talking here about the specific request, talking about praying for the lost. And in the first paragraph, he said, there's four areas: the individual, the soul winner, the Word of God, and revival. And these are four areas that we're going to pray about, or we need to be praying about. And one thing I have got out of the study this week is, to me, studying about prayer is like adding to your, you men probably know what I'm talking about, you know, adding to your firearms that you might have. You know, it's good to have a shotgun, but that won't, you can't use that for everything. So it's good to have a rifle, and it's good to have a pistol, and good to have a small caliber and large caliber, and you know, you add to your what you have. And so we're adding to our prayer arsenal. When we go to pray, we need to know how to pray. And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So evidently you can learn about prayer. And so that's what we've been doing this week, is learning more about prayer. And we said there's these four things we are to pray for. The individual, that's the person we're praying for. And that's what we talked about last night. And there's four things there that when we go to pray for a lost person, we'd pray that God would sanctify them, which just means that He had set them apart unto Himself, that He would begin to work in their life. And so we pray, Lord, sanctify them. Lord, bless them. And we talked about that. Lord, convict them of our sins. We've all prayed or heard people pray that conviction would come upon somebody's life. And then we prayed that God would illuminate their mind, that they'd see their lost condition and see how they need to be saved and see how they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And then we always pray, you know, that the Lord would save people. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And, you know, we're talking about praying for people. And I was thinking today, you know, what we was talking about last night, we was talking about children and how we wouldn't want to lead a child wrong. But I wanted to come back tonight and start and say that doesn't mean that a young child can't be saved, because God saves children. I preached on that Sunday. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and let them come unto me." And I've known lots of people that got saved at an early age. But what I try to make sure when I'm dealing with a child is that it's not me, but it's the Lord. You know, because you can get a child to agree to anything. And so the Bible said in Proverbs 11:30, "He that winneth souls is wise." And even dealing with children before, I've prayed with them and talked to them and tried to make sure that they understood, and they've prayed and said they got saved. Well, what can you do about that? You got to just take them at their word. And I've experienced that before, and then even my own children, both of them. And we tried to be very careful with them. They both made a profession of faith, and then they got saved later on. So, you know, I'm glad they got saved. And if it takes somebody 10 times to get where they've got peace with God, then that's just the way it is. I don't have an answer to that, and I don't think there is one. But the Lord is the one that has to show them and deal with them, and I just pray that God would. And so we pray for the individual to be saved. And tonight we're going to start on page number, I think it's page number 18. About the middle of the page, we're going to talk about how we would pray for the soul winner. So we pray for the sinner, the lost person, and we pray these things. You know, I was also thinking about this. If we pray that God would sanctify somebody, bless them, convict them, that's not all. That's not, because we pray. There's a lot of things you could pray for the lost. Pray that they'd have faith. Pray that they'd repent of their sins. pray that, you know, so that's not the end of the list, but that's just some things we talked about, and we'll go on tonight talking about. Second of all, we need to pray for somebody to win them. It says here in the middle of page number 18, it says, once the individual is ready to receive the gospel, someone must share it with him. And of course, he talks about the Bible, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so we think about that's the prayer request of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see anywhere else in the Bible that he asked us to pray for anything, but he said, pray that the Lord would send forth the laborers in the harvest. So evidently the laborers are few. And we even looked the other night at when we were talking, I don't remember what page it is on, but he talked about that probably 95% of Christians have never won a person to the Lord. It's on page number 8, the first paragraph. Christians must understand the necessity of travailing for souls, since some 95% of professing Christians never win a single soul to Christ. And we ought to all be able to, however you want to phrase it, lead someone to Christ, share the gospel with somebody, tell somebody how to be saved. We're to be witnesses. And the best thing you can do is share your testimony and give them scripture along with it. The gospel is very simple. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if I'm sharing with somebody about being saved, you know, I need to give them the gospel. I need to give them John 3:16 and Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need to be saved to begin with, because we're born sinners. And we need to tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, for God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5 and 8. And Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we all need to be able to tell somebody how to be saved. And I don't think the Lord's going to call us to witness to somebody if we don't know even where to start. You could do more harm than good. And so we need to be ready, willing, and able to give somebody the Word of God. And so we need to pray for the soul winner. And there are those that go all the time. You know, the Rock of Ages. They go every week in those revivals. That's what they do. They don't just go and preach in services, but the work that they do, they go into them prisons and they'll go cell to cell to cell and do that very thing. Just give them the gospel and give them the gospel and try to share the Bible with them and ask them if they've ever been saved. So there's a work to be done. So we need to pray for the soul winner. Because they're few, we need to pray the Lord would send out more workers. He talks about at the very bottom of page number 18, since the laborers are not only few in number, but also puny in duration and value, we ask the Lord to equip them with the essential qualities that will make them effective witnesses. However, we must understand that all of the equipping comes through the precious Holy Spirit. And so when we think about the soul winner, we're praying for the person that's going to give them the gospel. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for them, and we need to pray for ourselves, that we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key. And that's what our Bible school lessons were on last year. We talked about the importance of the Spirit-Filled Life, Threefold Secret of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we went over that book, and the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be led of the Spirit of God. Have you ever been out somewhere and God impressed upon you to witness to somebody? That's the Lord. You know, I meet people all the time. I'm not always, maybe I'm not in tune with the Lord like I need to be, but I know that there's been times where I've been impressed upon to go and talk to somebody or to give somebody a gospel tract. And so it's the Spirit of God that's going to lead us to witness to the people that we need to witness to. Philip, one of the great examples I think about in the Bible is Philip, and he was preaching in Samaria in Acts chapter number 8 and 9, and having a great response, you might say. They were having people saved, and so God called Philip from Samaria, where he was and where they were seeing souls saved and revival, and sent him down to the desert for one person. Now, no, most of us would say, well, I don't see the sense in that. Looks to me like it'd be more important to stay up there where all those people are. But the Spirit of God, he's the Lord of the harvest. And he said, I want him to go down there and witness to one person. And so we need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit of God. And Philip over there, it's in Acts chapter number 9, he was led of the Spirit to go down there. So we need to pray, and that's the key right there. And I've got that on page number 19 up at the top. I put a asterisk and wrote the word key there. That's the key. We must understand that all of the equipping comes through the precious Holy Spirit. And he talks about the next paragraph, some verses about Acts chapter 1, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so there's the importance of the Holy Spirit working in our heart and in our life. Look what he says there in that next paragraph. He said, consequently, all around us, souls are plunging blindly into hell, for we are powerless to stop them without a mighty endowment of God's Holy Spirit. And so if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in the church, in the preaching, in the witnessing, then what we have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So it takes the Lord to do the Lord's work, and he does it through the power of his Spirit. And so all these things are important. Let's go on down to page number 19, that next paragraph. There's the bold letter, and souls shall be saved. And then right after that paragraph talks about the Word of God. And that's the third thing up here on the board. And this is important. So we're talking about things to pray for. We need to pray for the individual to be saved. I've got somebody on my heart I want to see saved. I'm praying for. Then I need to pray for somebody to go to them. If it's not me, that God would send somebody. You know, I've been a missionary. I've lived in Idaho. And while I lived in Idaho, I couldn't go to somebody I was praying for in North Carolina. So I'd pray that God, if I can't go, that God would send somebody to them. And sometimes that's what it takes, is for somebody else. I'll tell you this before we move on. Brother Greg Tibbett, his grandmother lived in California, and he's lived out here for a long time, 20, maybe even close to 30 years, but his grandmother passed away. And they called him and asked him, this happened last year, asked him to go come to California. He flew out there to preach his grandmother's funeral. He'd prayed for her all these years. But as far as he knew, she died lost. Didn't grow up. As far as he knew when he left. And see, he's been saved in the past 20 years or so. Well, anyway, make a long story short, he goes out there. He preaches his grandmother's funeral, not knowing what had happened in her life in the past couple of years. And somebody came to him after the funeral service and said, I want to tell you something. I think she was in a nursing home, and there had been some people from a church came to her and witnessed to her, and she had gotten saved. Brother Greg doesn't know anything about this. He's already preached her funeral like she was lost. I don't think he got up. He just didn't say a whole lot about it, but he didn't know all that. And they told him about what she had said and what they believed, and he really encouraged his faith. So he couldn't go to her, but he had been praying for her, and God sent somebody to her, and she got saved. So talk about a blessing and boost your faith. And so we need to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest. And then we need to pray about the Word of God, right there in the middle of verse, page number 19. After we have prayed for individuals to be saved and for the workers to witness to them, we now pray for the Word of God that is to be shared with them. And I like what he says here. The reason for this is twofold. First of all, no one gets saved without hearing the Word of God. Now that's important.
Right.
That Romans 10 and 14 is worth looking up and reading. I don't want to misquote it, but I'll read it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so somebody's got to give them the Word of God, or they've got to read the Word of God. Nobody gets saved without the Word of God. How would somebody get saved without the Word of God? Because the Word of God's the only thing in the world that tells us how to get to heaven.
Right.
So you got to have the Word of God. And so the Word of God is of utmost importance. But then he goes on and says, secondly, Satan hates the Word of God. And if you don't think Satan hates the Word of God, just think of all the effort that there is to remove the Word of God or any reference to the Word of God from public view. We're really seeing that in America. I seen something, it's been 2 weeks ago, and I think it was out in Oakland, California, and there's a zoo. How the Ten Commandments got put up in a zoo, I don't know, but there's a zoo, is a zoo, and there's a monument that has the Ten Commandments, been there for years and years, and somebody come by and complained about the Ten Commandments being in the zoo. It wasn't the animals that complained about it. It was some atheist come by. And he's complaining about it, you know. He said, I seen what he said. He said, I don't appreciate seeing that on public property. Like it was something vile. Like it was something. He said, I don't appreciate seeing that. And so the devil hates the Word of God. It's convicting. It's what God uses to save, you know, for somebody to be saved, they've got to hear the Word of God and have the Word of God. So the devil hates the Word of God. And so he's continually attacking the Word of God. It said Satan hates the Word of God, continually and viciously attacking it in his diabolic efforts to prevent people from receiving it. Since the Word of God is necessary, and I looked up all these references today again, and we'll not take the time to do that, but I'd encourage you to look up these references. Since the Word of God is necessary to convict, Acts 2:37, that's where it talks about that they were pricked in their heart when they heard Peter preaching the gospel. That means it convicted them to the point of, they said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" So conviction, the Word of God brings conviction. It brings freedom. John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." That word of God's alive. And that's being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That's the word of God. Satan vigorously opposes with distractions. Let's do look at this one. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter number 8. And we'll read a couple of verses. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. It's page 1083 in a Scofield Bible. But Luke 8 and verse number 11. "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." That's pretty interesting. Do you know, I probably wouldn't want to know, because I might get disheartened really bad. But it would probably amaze us how many people walk out the door and maybe within an hour or two of the service being over can't even remember what's been preached on. And there's a spiritual side to all of this. And the devil does not want people to hear the word of God. And so the devil comes along and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. If he didn't attack and take away, they would believe and be saved. So there's a battle going on. So I'll tell you, from a preacher's standpoint, you can really tell when people are praying, and you can really tell when people aren't praying. And so this ought to encourage us. If I go and hear somebody preach, I try to pray for them. I try to pray for the Word of God and for the devil not to be able to hinder, because he's trying to hinder. Verse 13, "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And so that's talking about the different conditions of the heart. We can receive, we can have stony ground and hard ground, and the seed be taken away. So the Word of God is something we need to be praying about. Let's go on over to page number 20 in our book. At the top there, he says, "In praying for God to use His Word to convert the lost, we make five specific requests," and we'll look at these tonight. Five things. First, that His Word will have free course. And he gives 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1, that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified. I think that's what it says. "Wherefore, when..." That's 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. He said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And so we need to pray that during the preaching, during the teaching, that the word of God would have free course. And that means to be unhindered. That's what we talk about, having liberty. That the word of God would go forth and not be hindered. And so Satan, he's going to try to hinder. And I know one time that can happen in church. I have to sit near the front because about anything hinders me from hearing. Anything anybody's doing, any children that are moving or playing, just anything. I don't see how I can't sit in the back and get what I ought to out of it. And I'm that way in school or a class or anything. I don't like to be up front because I'm easily distracted. But then you throw in on top of that, the devil's always trying to hinder. And he's trying to get people to, you know, to hinder the Word of God. I felt impressed to go talk to a man one time. I'd been praying for him, and it was we were having revival. It was when I was over at Forest Grove. We were having revival, and I just had a real burden on my heart to go talk to somebody I'd been praying for. So I went. It was after church, and I went to his house. I'd been there before plenty of times, and he had a little dog at the time. And so I went in and I told him why I was there. I mean, serious. I didn't go to talk about the weather or ball games or anything like that. I said, I'm burdened for you. And I began to talk to him about the Lord. And his little dog got up on the couch and barked at him. And he kept saying, I don't know what's wrong with that dog. He don't ever do anything like that. He wasn't barking at me. He never done that. The dog never done that after that. But the whole time I was there, that dog, and I mean not just, it was with its teeth bared and just like he's going to eat him up. And he kept saying, I don't know what's wrong with that dog. And I kept thinking, I know what's going on. Lord, kill that dog. You know? That dog's trying to hinder the word of God. And you think about that. If I was impressed to go, and I was, I believe the Lord wanted to deal with that man. But that dog, it stood there, and I couldn't hardly talk to him. And I tried, but that dog stood there. It had never happened before, and it never happened after that. His dog barking at him. Now, you could see if it's barking at me, but it was barking at him. And so the devil tries to hinder the word of God. And sometimes he's successful in doing that. And then he says, next we pray that God's word be glorified. And that 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us. That's Paul asking the church at Thessalonica to pray for him, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And glorified, he says in the book, this means to be highly esteemed and honored among those who hear it. We will have a new reverence for his word when we see that he has magnified thy word above all thy name. Actually, God is his word incarnated. And he gives John 1:1 and verse number 14, but that the word of God would be glorified. You know, Preacher Kenneth Forbes, when he preached a couple of weeks ago, he said, he made a statement. He said, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is convicting in the churches like he did once upon a time. Like what he's saying, we don't see what somebody might refer to as that old time conviction that would come in a church and people get under conviction about their lost condition. And you don't see that like you did once upon a time. And I believe one thing, I'd say there's many things we could look at, but one thing, the Word of God doesn't mean to people what it did once upon a time. And you don't even have the influence of the Word of God that you did once upon a time, because it is more now than used to be. Taken out of the view of the public eye. The Gideons can't come to the schools and give Bibles. Once upon a time, all children, they knew more of the Word of God and reverenced it more than they do today. Preacher Carl Wilson told me one time, he said, and he's pastored now, 60 years maybe? He said, that sinners be running up and down the road while church was going on. He said when they got within sight of the church, they'd slow down, be quiet, be respectful as they went by the church, and then go on when they got to the other side. You wouldn't see that now, I don't think. So the Word of God, this is why it is important that the Word of God is seen, heard, read, available, told to people. And so pray the Word of God to be glorified. Number three, the middle of the page, he said, we also pray for God's Word to be multiplied. Acts 12 and 24. For one of the laws of harvest is, he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And I can't remember exactly Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, but I believe it has the word multiplied in it. Let me look real quick. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 24. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. And so it does. And we want the Word of God to grow and multiply. And I have a garden and I love to work in the garden. And last year we had a lot of tomato plants, and this year we've got more than we had last year. If I counted correctly, we've got 104 tomato plants. And Daddy said, why in the world did you get 104 tomato plants? I said, because I want to have a lot of tomatoes. And Lord willing, we will have a lot. So if anybody needs any tomatoes later on, if God blesses, but we want it to be multiplied. And that's how we ought to be about the Word of God. We shouldn't be stingy with the Word of God. We ought to want to see it multiplied and go out. So gospel tracts and Bibles and the effort we put into the Christmas parade and ordered those tracts and put the scripture on the float and all of those things. Why would we do that? Because we want the Word of God to be multiplied. And so if you want a big harvest, spread a lot of seed and put out a lot of plants, and you ought to get a bigger harvest. So we ought to pray the Word of God to be multiplied. We also pray for God's Word to prevail. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 20. And I had that and closed, turned it back over. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. That's interesting that 12:24, Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, how close those two verses are together, but they say a little bit different. Acts 12 and 24 said, but the Word of God grew and multiplied. In Acts 19 and 20, said, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. So one of them, the Word of God grew and multiplied. The other one, it grew and prevailed. And to prevail, just a small seed can crack a concrete slab. As the force of life bound up in it begins to emerge, so does the seed of God's Word planted in a heart. And so the seed of God's Word, the Bible says, preach the Word. And I believe that the preaching of the Word, I mean, let me put it like this. We're to preach the whole counsel of God. Right. You might preach something that Somebody might say, well, that's not a salvation message, but you don't know how that Word of God is going to affect somebody and cause conviction to come into their life. I think I'm right in saying that it was missionary Ronnie Wright. And, you know, his life story is on that Unshackled program. But he talks about getting under conviction. And I guess he lived a real rough life before he got saved, and was driving a truck, and he got under conviction, and his wife had been praying for him, and I think his mother had been praying for him, and he got somewhere, and there was a Gideon Bible, and he opened it up and read over there in Revelation about the dragon coming up out of the sea, and he said he closed it up. He didn't want to read or hear any more of that. And he said, but for a long time, he was scared to death. He was scared to death. All he could think about, and all he had read, was part of a verse. And God used that verse to bring about conviction in his heart. So the Word of God, we need to pray that it would prevail as it goes forth. And then he said, my favorite prayer for God's Word is that it will be effective. And Acts 14:1, so they so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And then he's got Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so when we witness to somebody, when we give a gospel tract, when the preached word goes out, we need to pray that it would be effective and do what God would have it to do. And so those are things that will help us. It'll help the church services. It'll help the preaching of the Word of God. If we, you know, if I'm listening to somebody preach and I can sort of tell that they're having a hard time, I'll try to pray for them. Lord, help them. Lord, give them liberty. Lord, loose them up. Or, you know, sometimes you can tell if somebody's having a hard time. So, you know, it would help if we could recognize that and pray, because there's always a battle going on. The devil's trying to hinder at all times. So, we pray for the soul winner. We pray concerning the Word of God. And then, revival. At the bottom of page number 20, he said, if we really want to see multitudes saved, then we need to pray for revival. And I wrote all this on the board earlier before classes and everything. And, of course, revival's down at the bottom, number 4. And I thought, you know, that's sort of like a brush pile. Everything on this board and revival's down there at the bottom. If we could get, you know, if you're going to burn a brush pile, you don't light and throw a match on the top of the brush pile, do you? You got to get down underneath it. And if you can get a fire started underneath it, then the rest of it will go up. And that's how all this is that we've been studying about. You can, and when we, when I taught the evangelism class over at Victory, you can study evangelism. There's books upon books upon books about evangelism, about how to witness to somebody and all the different, you know, drawing the net and casting the line. And I mean, there's all kinds. And you can just study it into the ground. But if you don't have any fire behind the message, if there's no power, then it's not going to get the job done. And so if we really want to see souls saved, we need to pray for revival. And I've said that already 2 times this week. The 4 things that goes together. There's prayer. Prayer for revival. And then there's the revival of God's people. And God's people get revived. And they get on fire. And they want to pray and witness and tell others about the Lord. And so there's revival. And then there's evangelism. And souls are saved. And when souls are saved and there's evangelism, there'll always be somebody or a group of people that'll want to take it somewhere else. And so that's missions. So you got prayer and revival and evangelism and missions. I talked to Brother Gary Byram today, and he's our missionary to with the Camp Tracy, and he usually comes in June or July every year. He's going to be here not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. And, of course, during the summertime, he lives down around, it's Haywood County. Where is that, Waynesville?
Yeah.
He lives down there. And he said they've been going to church every night for 4 weeks straight, and they've been having revival. And he said over 100 people have got saved. And I said, praise the Lord, you don't hear about that every day. So it still happens. And so... he said, it's historic. He said, we are just enjoying it so much, seeing what the Lord's doing. So thank the Lord. He's still able. But we don't see it much. And we'll talk tomorrow night about the spiritual warfare. That's chapter number 5. We're in a battle. You know, there's a spiritual battle going on. And so we need to pray. And we'll talk about that tomorrow night.